We are so excited that this latest message from Truth Movement Church can meet you where you are today. This message from TMC will help you to apply the truth of God's word to your everyday life. It's practical and powerful. Enjoy His word.
Our memory verse for this series is Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. And it says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Let's say that together. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Let's do it one more time. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. That verse that we're dealing with stemmed from this law that had been written in Judea at the time of Roman rule that said a Roman soldier could force any non-Roman citizen to carry whatever burden they had for 1 mile. Did not matter where that person was going, didn't matter what they were doing. They had to drop what they were doing and go in the direction of the Roman soldier by force for a minimum of 1 mile. At the end of the 1 mile, they can turn and walk away. But what Jesus was saying, even though you're forced to be in this place, even though you're going a direction you don't want to go, I want you to go an extra mile so that you get something out of it. I want you to go further so you get something out of it. I want you to go further so that you can start to have influence on the person that's walking with you. I want you to have influence on the sphere that you're in. And you cannot have influence if you're only going the first mile. If you're only doing what you have to do, there's no way that you can have influence and impact the way that Jesus desires for us to. So, last week we talked about Hannah, a lovely story. We started talking about her life, and I think that Hannah was a woman, the piece that we got into, Hannah was a woman living on the first mile of life. She was a woman in pain, in frustration all day, every day. And she was living a life that she had not necessarily planned for herself. I could imagine that 9, 10 years old, her hopes and dreams of being a wife did not look like what it looked like when she finally got there. By the time Hannah gets to the place of her dream, she's living with another woman. She's unable to have children, and the situation is very difficult. And it caused Hannah a lot of pain. So much so that Hannah was unable to invest in the moments that she was in. The pain was so unbearing, overbearing, and so overwhelming that Hannah was unable to even recognize the move of God in her life. When God was trying to bless her and do something extra for her, she couldn't even recognize it because she was in so much pain. We talked about her preparation and how God had closed her womb on purpose. And we talked about her being provoked by her enemy, but the same thing that the enemy was trying to use to provoke her to quit, God was trying to use to push her forward. And then finally, Hannah gets to a place where she says, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm not going to sit here and continue to eat from this plate of bitterness and hurt. So out of nowhere, Hannah decides that she's going to stand up. She pushes away her plate. She says, I'm tired of being in this place. She stands up and she changes her position. And I believe that many of us falter in that moment. Many of us would just sit in this situation and never be able to turn the table. We'll never say enough is enough. We'll never say that I am the one who has to change the situation and I'm waiting on this person to change it and that person to change it. But what I got from Hannah's story is that God is waiting for us to change so that you can change it. He says, first, I want you to change. And I think Hannah recognizes that. So I believe, and I want to be able to put a pin in it, that when Hannah stood up, that was her saying that I'm pushing forward to the second mile. I didn't choose this life for myself. This is to some degree being forced on me, but I'm going to choose that I'm going to get everything out of these moments that I can get, and I'm going to change the atmosphere that I sit in. So Hannah says, I'm going to push forward into the second mile. But I think that there's some critical elements in Hannah's second mile that I think all of us must have for our second mile. Are you at 1 Samuel? Verse 9. Let's read there. Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house and Eli was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. The text tells us that Hannah was in deep anguish. I like another version of it. It says that Hannah was bitter of soul. And what it was trying to help us to understand is that the pain that Hannah was feeling had infiltrated all of who she was. It was changing her. And I think that when you read this, you says, well, Hannah prayed. Well, you say, well, no, that's not a big deal because I pray every single day. But I want you to write that down as a point, because Hannah didn't just pray. I would bet that Hannah prayed about this situation several times before. This isn't the first time Hannah prayed. This was not the routine prayer for Hannah. This was not a prayer out of obligation. Hannah was not praying over her meal. Hannah was praying from a place of pain. She was praying from a place of pain that we know, based upon our lesson last week, that God had given to her on purpose. And I want you to understand that there are things that we deal with in life that God allows us to go through so that he can help position us so that we can be blessed. If it were not for Hannah's pain, if this thing hadn't started to impact her soul, if it had not started to impact her person, Hannah would have never prayed in this fashion. But God allowed her to go through this pain and live with this pain so that he could provoke her to this type of prayer. And I want you to understand that there are things that all of us are dealing with, all of us will have to go through, that God uses to try to position us so that we can receive what he has for us. But oftentimes we let our enemy play the game with us to say, you know what, you shouldn't be going through this. God would not allow you to go through this. But we learn from the text that God is the one who was responsible for closing her womb. Wow. Wanzel, why would he do it? So that she could be in a place where he could bless her. And I want you to understand that prayer is an opportunity. It's not a responsibility. It is a blessing. Because that's my opportunity that I have to have a conversation with the God who created the heavens and the earth. And I think a lot of times we feel pressured when we have to pray. I make a point to pray every day. But then sometimes I don't have time to pray. So I'll say a quick one, like in my car, right? And I'll give him everything that I have in my car. But you have to understand the importance of prayer to know that God desires for us to get to a place in our prayer that we go deeper. This was not the first time that Hannah had prayed. This is not the first time that she had referenced God. This is not the first time that she brought this issue before him. She was praying because she was in such pain and she needed something from God. My question to you is this: does God have to always use pain to get you to pray? Because sometimes we won't even bother with him. I won't talk about you. I can talk about me. Sometimes I won't even bother to reference God in my day if I don't have something on my plate. So does God have to push you to pray? Does God have to provoke you to pray? Or will I pray because you're just God? And God, I'm not going to give you my routine stuff. I'm going to give you the stuff that I know you deserve, because I need to tap into you right now. So Somebody shout pray. Verse 11. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only allow, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Now, since we're talking about prayer, I know that when you heard Hannah's an excerpt from her prayer, you said to yourself, well, that kind of sounds like me. Have you ever, like, in prayer, let's go back a little bit. Have you ever, because of a situation, promised something to God? Like, God, if you get me out of this, I'll praise you. If Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll come to church every Sunday. Have you ever been there? Raise your hand if you've been there, because I've been there. But if you pay attention, this is not what Hannah does. Let's look at what she says again. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all his days, and no razor will ever be on his head. Hannah says, I know that I want you to do this for my good. And I know that I'm the only one that's going to really benefit out of this, Lord. But I am, listen to me, I'm going to find some way to make a commitment to you. And I think a lot of times we want to pray without commitment. And the word that I want you to write down is pledge. Hannah made a pledge. Hannah says, well, listen, and I love the verbiage that she uses in the text. She says, Lord Almighty. Other translations of the same text says, Lord of hosts. And what Hannah was saying in her prayer to God is that I know who you are. I know how powerful you are. And she says that I want to tap into your infinite power and your infinite ability to open up my womb so that I can birth this child. And Lord, since you're going to do this thing for me, I'm going to commit something to you. I know that I'll get the benefit, Lord, but let me give you something that I value. And I honestly believe, because of the society that we live in, God is the only person that we don't have to do anything for. Like, we'll ask, you know, we'll ask, Lord, I need you to open up all of heaven, and I want the host of the angels to show up on my behalf, and I'm beckoning you to my bedside, Lord, and I need you to show up, God all-powerful. And we ask him to do all this stuff, but we don't want to give anything back to him. As a matter of fact, Hannah knew that he was the only person that could fix her situation. So she says, Lord, since I know you're a specialist in this area, since I know that this job is not too big for you and you're going to move heaven on my behalf, let me commit something to you. Let me make a pledge to you. He is the only person in our life that we don't have to give. We decide that we're not going to give anything back to. We're not going to make a commitment to him. Here's what, check this out. I would ask you to go to, I like Eddie V's, so that's my example. Go to Eddie V's and ask for the best cut of steak. Eddie V's does a great job at steaks, and they do a great job at serving you. The service is immaculate. It's great. And you show up there, and you decide to walk out that place without paying them. Just know, like, to the server, like, you were great and you were awesome. The meal was amazing. Where's the chef? Tell the chef that, you know, I give him, you know, all of the praise for what he's just done. It was amazing. Thank you. And you try to walk out of that place without giving them some value. Hannah says, listen, I know what it's going to take for this thing to happen on my behalf. Let me give you something I value. So for many of us, right, it happens on when we show up to church on Sunday, we're tired from the weekend and we're worried about the Monday that's coming. So we give God what we have left over. We don't understand that God is desiring for us to give him something of value, because when God moves on our behalf, we owe it. She says, listen, I know who you are. I know what it's going to take to make this happen. I've not been able to make this happen on my own. And because you're going to do this, let me give you something I value. When was the last time you said to yourself, Lord, I'm going to give you what I value? Not just money. I'm not talking about money. As a matter of fact, I'm not even talking about money. When was the last time you said, Lord, because of who you are, I owe you me? Just because of who you are, I owe you worship in this place. Just because of who you are, I owe you praise. Just because of who you are, and I understand who you are because I've seen you do it for somebody else. So, Lord, if you decide to work in my life, I owe you. My mom came in town. She wasn't able to make it to church, but she came and watched us set up. We got this place finished. And she says, Wanzel, where all this stuff come from? I said, well, we had to buy it. Who bought it? Well, we had to buy it. And I don't know if you can connect the dots of what I'm saying, but this was nothing for me. Not that I got a whole lot of money, but I knew that I owed them. I knew I owed them. Because I've put myself in too many situations that he's pulled me out of. This was not it. It wasn't a second thought. He said, Wanzel, it's time to go. You got to go do this. Yes, sir. Let's go. Because I know I'm still on the hook for some stuff. Check me out. I can't pay him back. But he wants me to position my heart. He wants me to position my heart to say, Lord, whatever I have, it belongs to you, and you can have it whenever you get ready. As a matter of fact, so you don't take it, I'll make it available. So if it's my heart that I've been holding back from him, give it to him. If it's my mind I've been holding back, give it to him. If it's dollars and cents, give it to him. If it's time, give it to him, because you owe it. Hannah says, Lord Almighty, I know who you are. I'm not praying to a God I don't know. She says, sir, if you move this thing on my behalf, listen, I'm going to give you what I value. And here's what's funny, right? Her value was determined by her producing a child. Society had deemed this is what value looks like. And Hannah says, listen, I'm going to pull the wool over all their eyes. I'm going to give them back to God because they don't determine my value. He does. Go to verse 12. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Listen to Hannah, right? Hannah says, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who was deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring myself out. I was pouring my soul out to the Lord. Point number three is poured out. Eli says something to Hannah that I think is vitally important, specifically when we decide that we're going to go the second mile with Jesus. But I think we can miss over or look over it because of the way he stated it. Eli says to her, he walks into the church, right? He walks into the tabernacle. He walks into the church, easier to say it like that. Walks into the church and he says, woman, he looks at her and Hannah's over there praying and she's praying from her spirit. She's praying. She's praying in a way that she's never prayed before. And Eli walks in, and the priest, the pastor of the church, and he walks in, and he looks at her, and he sees her mouth moving, but he doesn't see any words. And he says, listen, woman, when are you going to stop drinking? Showing up in here all drunk. But that lets me know that what she was doing, being drunk, coming to church was common. Because he wouldn't have been able to connect the two. He's like, woman, what are you doing? Why are you sitting up here drunk? When are you going to put away your wine? It was uncommon to see someone pray in that fashion. It was uncommon that he mistaken her for what everybody else was doing. Now, if you look at it, you would say, well, Wanzel, I don't drink wine. I wouldn't show up at church drunk. Not if I had a beer, I wouldn't show up at church that way. But what Eli was saying to her, why are you showing up here intoxicated? Why are you showing up here inebriated? Why are you showing up here impaired? What he was saying to her was this, is that people, when they drink, when you drink too much, it impairs your abilities. One of the things that it impairs is your vision. It impairs your mobility. It makes it difficult for you to get your words out and to express yourself. And he says to her, woman, why are you showing up here impaired? And you would say to yourself, well, Wanzel, I would never do that. I would never, you know, go have some Crown Royal and then show up to church. I wouldn't get a glass of Crown and come to church. But you would drink a glass of disappointment and show up to church. You would take a double shot of hurt and show up to church with your abilities impaired. Yeah. Because one of the things that alcohol impacts is your vision and your judgment. So when you show up to church because you've been drunk on the stuff that you've been drinking for so long, you don't see God in the right way. And it's a problem, and I don't understand it. And what Eli was saying, woman, you listen to me. You've got to stop drinking on this stuff. You've got to stop drinking this stuff. You see, Hannah had been drinking depression for a long time. She had been drinking, you know, she was a regular at happy hour. She would go and get her a cup of hurt and a cup of insecurity, and she would drink that thing every day. Yeah, she had herself a cocktail. And here's what I know. She admits, listen to this, she admits that she had been drinking on her hurt, on her disappointment, and being all in her feelings, because she says this. She says, well, listen, I'm a woman that's been deeply hurt. I've been deeply disappointed, and I am here now pouring out my drink. She says, sir, don't mistake me for someone who's doing some other stuff. But she does says, yeah, I've been drinking, but I'm standing before God and I'm pouring this thing out right now because I'm tired of seeing him the wrong way. She says, I'm pouring this thing out. And I want you to understand, if God is going to fill you with what you want to be filled with, you got to pour out your drink. So I don't know what you've been drinking on. I don't know what your cocktail is, but all of us got one. God is saying, I want you to stop in this moment so that I can fill you with love. I can fill you with peace. Hannah says, sir, I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I'm trying to get this stuff out of me. She says, I'm trying to get this mess out of me. I'm tired of being where I've been. And honestly, sir, this thing just calls me to it. And I try to disconnect myself from these thoughts and these feelings and all of this frustration and all of this anxiety. And I promise you, I try, sir. But I've tried everything that I know to try. And now I'm here before God because I know that he can fill me with something else. So I'm pouring it out. I want you to pour it out. Because he can't fill you if you're full of disappointment. He can't fill you if you're full of hurt. He can't fill you if you're full of pain. The woman says, listen, I'm bitter of soul. And what I like about Hannah is that Hannah knew exactly where she knew what this stuff was doing to her, but she kept drinking. I know that this thing that I'm drinking on is tearing my family apart. I know that my insecurities is not working well with my husband, but I keep drinking. I don't want to be in this place no more. Hannah says, sir, I'm not here for the wrong reasons. I recognize that I've been full of this mess for a long time, and I'm pouring it out. I'm pouring it out right now, because I refuse to go back home the way that I came. So I have to pour it out right now. However I got to get it out of me, get it out of me, God, because I've got to pour this thing out. So Eli says, he said, that's good, Hannah. She says, I'm pouring myself out, and you know, don't mistake what I'm doing, and I'm going to cleanse myself of this stuff. And I like Eli's response. Because Eli, being the preacher or the pastor, he didn't try to exegete a text for her and to give her a prophecy. All he says to her is, go in peace. And may the Lord do what you've asked him to do. And the next thing I want you to write down is peace. I honestly believe that that is where we end up missing it. I think that's vital for us, because we don't understand that once we pour it out, I have to go with a different mindset. Check this out. Hannah was going back to the place she had just left. Her situation was no different. You remember Penina? She was a hot mess, and she was throwing it up in Hannah's face all the time. The tension in the house was still there, and the only way, listen to me, the only way that you can change an atmosphere is by introducing peace. Wars don't end because we kill everybody off. Somebody says, I want peace. I don't know if y'all believe me. She pours herself out. Eli gives her word, and he says, go in peace, right? Wanzel goes to church on Sunday. He gets a word, but he doesn't go in peace. So when he gets back to where he has come from, the environment overtakes him. He gets back into the same situation that he was in before because he didn't go in peace. There was one time Jesus was with his disciples. They were on a boat. And this whirlwind came on them, right? And the boat's tossing and turning, and the disciples are on the boat freaking out. Like, Jesus is on the boat, and he's not waking up. What is Jesus doing? We're about to die. The waves are crashing, and this boat is about to overturn. Somebody get Jesus. Well, the word in the flesh was on the boat. They had the word. But until the word got up and said, peace be still, it didn't change. He tells Hannah, go in peace. He means to encompass yourself in peace, wrap yourself in peace, because the situation you're going back to is a mess. You've got to make sure that you represent peace wherever you go, because that's the only way it's going to change. He says, go in peace. That is the only way it's going. Listen, the enemy doesn't care about you getting a word. Ooh, pastor, preach. It's a good word. If you're not going to go in peace, it doesn't matter. Hannah says, I'm ridding myself of all this mess. I'm getting rid of it. Eli shows up and says, listen, I want you to go in peace. And Hannah goes in peace. How do I know she goes in peace, right? You remember I told you her husband, Elkanah, would prepare a meal, and he would always give Hannah a double portion. And Hannah would not eat. She would not. Not that she could not eat. She would not eat because she was being provoked by her enemy, Penina. But now after he says to her, go in peace, Hannah goes in peace. And when she gets back to where she is, the text says she has a meal. Oh, y'all ain't get that. Oh, Penina, can you pass me the salt, please? Because peace is unexplainable. That is the kind of peace that I want. Listen, when I walk back into this environment, I need some stuff that I can't even explain start to come up in me. Are you going to eat that? I'm hungry. It's time. The girl went back and ate. Listen, Hannah was turning down, and this is what the commentator says. The commentators say that when she would turn down these meals, they would go to the church once a year to sacrifice and to give offering to God, and they would have these big meals. But it was kind of like Thanksgiving. Hannah was turning down black eyed peas, macaroni and cheese, collard greens. She was turning down the good stuff. Listen to this. After she has a real encounter with God, she pours herself out. She lays it out, all out on the line. She decides that she's going to walk in peace. The word that he gave her, go in peace. She decides she's going to walk in peace, and she gets back, and she's different. Listen, we can't even explain the look that was on this girl's face. And Elkanah and Peninnah sitting there looking at her like, what is the deal with her? But it was uncommon for that to happen because the situation had not changed. Tell your neighbor, I need some peace, man. Now, I don't know if it's on your job. I don't know if it's in your home. I don't know if it's in your heart, but God is saying, you got to go in peace. I don't care who you listen to on a podcast. I don't care what church you roll up in and get a word. I don't care if you go to this church and they shout and they roll on the ground and they do all this stuff. I hear you, and that was good. But if you don't walk out of that place with peace, it doesn't matter. Hannah, here's the thing, the measurement, the litmus test for peace is change. Don't talk to me if you say, well, I'm deciding to walk in peace and you still as nasty as you were before. If you just as rude as you were before because of what they're doing to you, don't tell me that's peace. Peace changes an atmosphere. Woo. Unexplainable. I don't even know why the situation turned in my favor, but it did because you inserted peace. Last point. Let's go to verse 19. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. Verse 20. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Now, we've talked about where Hannah started, and we see that where she finishes. We know that Hannah started on the first mile, and she's walking this thing out on the second mile now. Hannah goes to church. She gets a word. She decides that she's going to walk in peace. And now, listen to this. She gets home, and she has walked into this dysfunctional situation. Nobody's changed. The rooms are all the same. You know, they've came from the conference, and the conference was amazing. And they come from the conference, they get back home, and everything is the exact same way that it was. And all of dysfunction that was there, that we left there, is still there. But inside of Hannah is function. Because she received the word, she walked in peace, God gives her the promise. She received the word, she walks in peace, God gives her the promise. But she has to carry the promise in a dysfunctional place. So the text says that in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant. In the course of time. So that means to me that they tried, it didn't work. They tried, it didn't work. They tried, it didn't work. But this time they tried and it worked. And Hannah became pregnant. And I want you to understand, and here's the last one is promise. Write that word down. The last word is promise. There is a period of time between conception and revelation. He says, so in the course of time, Hannah got pregnant. So Hannah was pregnant before everybody else knew she was pregnant. Before anybody could see the bump on her stomach, Hannah was pregnant. Yeah. So from the time of conception to Revelation, there's a period of time that most of us miscarry. Because the fact that validation came when she had a bump, that now things have changed in her life, that didn't come to fruition until time had taken place. You've got to understand that just because you don't see the results just yet, you've already got the promise. You see, when conception took place, she was pregnant, but everybody may not know that. You've got to know that if it is for me, it is for me. If God is blessing me, he has blessed me. And you have to make sure that you carry this thing to term. Check this out. Hannah gets pregnant, nobody knows it, but that doesn't stop Penina from messing with her. She's still throwing her kids in. But here's her posture had changed because Hannah knew within herself she's pregnant. Hannah knew, regardless of what's coming my way, I know what God has deposited in me. So I'm going to stand here and take it, girl. You just don't know. In a few weeks, you're going to see this thing come to fruition. But unlike Hannah, most of us miscarry. Because the pressure becomes too much. God, I thought I was going to see a change. You know, I've poured myself out and I've walked in peace. And you say you're God and you're going to change the situation. And he changed it. But you have to make sure that you walk in the promise. The promise has to be walked out. Here's a good one for you. The Israelites. This land had been talked about for hundreds of years. God has a promise. He has the promised land, and we're going to the promised land. So, let my people go takes place, and they come up out of Egypt, and they're heading to the promised land. It takes them forever to get to the promised land. But when they finally get in the promised land, there's a challenge. There's an issue. God did not do what he said he was going to do. God said, I've got a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I got you covered. But they miscarried the promise before they could receive it because of the pressure. I want you to understand that just because God has promised it and just because he's deposited in you does not mean that things are going to change right now. They are going to change over time. So we believe, Wanzel, the word was great today and things are going to change now. No. Somebody shout, give it time. Verse 20 said, in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant.
Thank you for streaming the latest message from Truth Movement Church. We pray that you found something in God's word that you can deposit into your heart for future use. To stay connected with our ministry, like us on Facebook or Instagram, or learn more about us by visiting www.truthmovementchurch.org.